Tired of ads crashing your comedy podcast party? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And here's your prescription.
I know just the pharmacy to get this filled.
Who are you?
A pharmacy benefit manager. A middleman your insurer uses to decide which medicines you can get, what you pay, and sometimes even which pharmacy you should go to.
Why can't I go to a pharmacy in my neighborhood?
Because I make more money when you go to a pharmacy I own.
No one should stand between you and your medicine. Visit phrma.org/middleman to learn more. Paid for by Pharma.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Yo, 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 and welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Morgan. And this is episode, Taylor, hit it with a
141.
Thank you.
I believe.
I don't know shit.
All I do know for sure is that this is Creepy Accounts Volume 23.
Oh, good to know. We recorded that like a month ago.
A whole month ago, y'all. It has been a whirlwind. For some reason, the last two episodes, we have placed our intro after the fact.
Yeah, but that's because we've been recording 45-minute intros, and it's not even worth editing.
No, I just keep throwing them away. So there's just hours and hours and hours of Morgan and I talking horse shit that do not exist anywhere except for the trash on my computer that I refuse to delete because I'm scared.
Fair enough. I'm so sorry. My heartburn, I feel like I can't even speak because I have this giant flaming fireball in the back of my throat.
And heartburn. I still haven't replenished the
And thumbs. I'm like, oh, perfect. A nice sub, spicy sub
Let me
coming my way.
Guys, so we're sitting here and she's like, oh my God, I need to have this. And you're like, you're coming home with me. And I was sitting on the computer because we just launched our Pride merch.
Ayo. Ayo. If you haven't seen it already, go to Instagram, Creeps and Crimes. We partnered with the Leftist Agenda, which
Once
is an LGBTQ plus owned and operated business.
Small business. Tennessee local and one of our besties.
Yeah.
We also did a varsity collection with it because
we couldn't help ourselves.
we start seeing stuff on t-shirts and we're like, immediately add more.
Immediately give me 19 more designs.
100%. And like our buddy was like, bitch, we have 2 days.
Yeah.
Because like we said, we were trying to work with another company. Didn't really work out. We just didn't know that we could trust them. And it sat so wrong with us that we didn't have our Pride merch. Like, it was all that we were looking forward to this year, really. We, like, finally got the confirmation that that first round wasn't going to go through. I immediately called and was like, would you be interested?
Hey, the candles were great. How about some shirts?
How about some shirts? And they were like, immediately, I'll be on it tonight and I'll turn around and get it done.
And that
days.
Was the turnaround.
And that's legit. Literally what the fuck happened.
It was crazy.
It was insane. But either way, so Morgan's like, you're coming home with me or whatever she said. And I'm over here like being a psycho trying to type out a caption.
I saw this Jersey Mike sub on TikTok and I said, I have to have you in my throat.
Immediately.
Right now, with my fireball.
I need to dog you in my throat right now.
And so I ordered exactly how this girl had ordered it on TikTok.
Tell us what it is.
It is a turkey and provolone sandwich on Italian herb and cheese. Actually, I don't think that's what they're... Parmesan herb and cheese, I think, is what Jersey Mike's thing is called. It's Mike's Way with spicy relish, pickles, and then I did add banana peppers.
Oh my God. I literally just said to Logan, not even an hour before you got here, I would kill for some banana peppers because I'm out. My jar just ran out and I'm out of olives. I'm out of pickles. I'm out of red onions pickled.
I'm going to have to steal. Aaron's mom makes banana peppers, but they're like a garlicky dill. They are so fucking good. Mm. She sent me back here with 2 jars. I ate 1 jar the entire way home.
Absolutely.
And the other one's halfway gone.
Yeah, no, it would already
be. Put them
gone.
On everything. You would love them. You would eat them so quick.
I can't bring pickles and things in here. Because I roundhouse them. I can't stop myself. There's nothing that can make me stop. Anyways, guys, we're going to give you a little bit shorter of an intro today. If you haven't noticed, we have been shortening our intros.
We're trying.
We're just trying to make it a little bit more.
If you miss the long combos, jump on over to Patreon. Even the lowest tier still gets those piping hot.
It's just the number one review that we have that's negative. It's like, love everything about the podcast. You guys just talk way too fucking much in the beginning. And I know that so many of you guys love it because we fucking love it, but we're just trying it.
Yeah, we're trying it.
Same thing with the creepy accounts, flopping them around, seeing how it rolls. You know us.
Yeah.
We change logos. We can't change a logo right now. So naturally, we can't change everything else.
The studio is being mocked up currently.
No, the way the studio's been mocked up 900 times on Canva. No one's even prepared for the studio mock-ups I've got here. Guys, we went on Sinisterhood podcast with Christy and Heather.
It was so much fun.
Guys, we are, I don't know what's going on, but like we finally have friends in this space. Like multiple.
Like so many friends that we got added to a group chat.
A group chat?
Of all your favorite podcasters.
And you're going to scream because I screamed. I was not okay. We had an amazing time on Sinisterhood podcast. It's their Freaky Friday episode 63. And it turned into a Creeps and Crimes takeover. They're supposed to be like their creepy accounts.
I don't even think they got to say a word.
I think
that we really overwhelmed them.
Yeah. We were just so excited to meet them. And we had so much in common.
And that's why if you are ever wanting us to guest on your show, just know that you need to schedule at least an hour of talking prior or else we'll just tell you our whole lives. On mic.
We just have to tell you everything just so you know like what you're getting into.
Yeah.
We're just like the worst and the best at that.
First.
But we had the best time ever. And that would be the first time that you guys ever got to hear in-depth our stories.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful it was with them.
They were the most amazing people.
We're going to Dollywood.
Dollyween.
Maybe, coming up here.
Maybe CreepyCon. I don't know if I can go back there.
Maybe literally a million other things. Maybe a cabin retreat. Who knows?
Imagine a panel of that group chat at CreepyCon.
The way that CreepyCon would
end up being a podcast takeover.
It would turn into a full blown podcast festival.
Yeah. Fine, we'll work on it.
I would kill to do that. There's a lot of funny stuff in here and great, great, great stories. Some incredibly creepy, some incredibly crimey, some incredibly twinny.
Ooh.
Because it's the twin telepathy.
I forgot about that.
Yes, we have so many good ones.
Okay, yeah. No, this is a really good one.
No, this one's probably one of my faves.
Yeah, ditto. Okay, well, if you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy. Before we hop into these creepy accounts, let's get so real for a second. One thing about me is I click that subscribe button a little too quickly and a little too easy.
Me too. And by the time that next payment comes around, I've completely forgotten about that subscription. I lose so much money. And with this economy, no, ma'am.
That cannot happen. No, seriously. I recently downloaded an app called Rocket Money that monitors all subscriptions for you so that you don't have to. And they can cancel them for you. So you don't have to go through that hassle of figuring out the lengthy way of cancellation.
That is exactly what I needed, which is exactly why I had to download it the second you told me about it. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spendings, and helps you lower your bills all in one place.
Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year.
And if you're trying to be a budget queen, Rocket Money also helps you to manage all of your finances in one place and automatically categorizes your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off.
So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
That's rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
rocketmoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
And try it for 30 days free.
And just like that, your favorite besties
and tastemakers,
Benito Skinner
and Mary Beth Barone,
are back. Did you miss us?
You know they did.
Join us every Wednesday on your way to Sephora to hear our witty, ridiculous, and irreverent musings on life, the universe, existence, and of course, what we currently ride for.
You're going to absolutely live/die for this podcast. You might even, dare we say,
ride for it.
So the first story we have is from Stevie, pronouns she, her, and it is titled Twin Telepathy Turned Guardian Angel. Hi, you lovely ladies. I just listened to this month's creepy accounts and I had to stop what I was doing and write in with my twin story. Okay, so it's not my story, but kind of. You see, my younger brother is a twin, but sad content warning, His twin didn't make it. He was a stillborn. But my mom did a really good job helping us understand it was okay, and we just shared with God.
That's really a great way to explain that.
I was 4, so I accepted this immediately, but I think also I knew that my mom needed me too, even at that young age. I knew it was important. I let her know I was okay with us sharing. Anyways, now that I've choked myself up, let's move on to the spooky but awesome twin connection my brothers still share despite one of them no longer being earthbound. So I'm going to share two experiences with you that I 100% believe was my brother's twin protecting him. David, the twin that I grew up with and know better than myself probably, LOL, has lived a very protected life. Between our mama bear and me, he's never wanted for anything and never had to deal with anything without us backing him up. But despite my being his protector most of the time, I also fought with him like crazy when we were kids, and even still sometimes today. That's important, I promise. So our family is a bit weird and definitely into the paranormal. As we grew older, my mom's love of the strange and paranormal started coming out more and bleeding onto us a bit.
That's not weird. That's iconic.
It's iconic. We would talk about Danny, David's twin, all the time and speculate if he was near since the twin connection is supposed to be so powerful. We always wondered out loud if Danny was present for one thing or another. It was assumed and accepted that he definitely was. And after what I saw, I 100% know he is always with my brother. Okay, the story. One night when I was about 13 and my brother was about 9, we were camped out in our living room having fallen asleep watching cartoons and movies, which was one of our favorite weekend rituals. While sleeping, I got woken up by David snoring. He has always been a loud snorer, so when I opened my eyes, I was instantly annoyed. My back was to him, so I immediately went to roll over with my fist raised, ready to frog his arm and wake him up so he stopped snoring. As I rolled toward him, fist suspended in the air, I see him standing above himself, looking down, watching himself sleep. I froze, and then I blinked, and he was gone. I blinked a few more times to register my surroundings and didn't see him anywhere. I got up and ran to my bedroom and hid under the covers, leaving my poor brother out there alone with what I could only assume was a ghost.
Now you literally abandoning Daniel. Good luck, bro.
David, sorry. I quickly fell back to sleep, though, and nothing else happened. The next day, I excitedly told my mom, and I didn't think it would make her sad, but her first reaction was disappointment that she'd never seen him.
Aww.
So I quickly reassured her and told her I only saw him, I think, because I was about to pummel David. And Danny just wasn't having it that night. She managed to laugh a little and told me, you know, you're probably right. He's probably here so he can watch over David and protect him, even from you. We both laughed, and I think she felt better. The second story. When David was in his late 20s, he was driving his big F-250 truck home from the gas station down the road from our house. The road he was on had several intersections, each having a stop sign for the intersecting streets only, and the speed limit was set to 25 miles per hour. As David came down that road, a teenager driving a Honda Civic ran the stop sign at one of the intersecting streets and plowed directly into the side of my brother's truck, going about 30 or 40 miles per hour. Both vehicles were launched into the air. My brother's truck ended up on its side in someone's yard and the Honda on its side in the middle of the road. By some miracle, my brother was unharmed aside from being bumped around and a little bruised. And his first thought when his vehicle came to a halt in the chaos was to check on the other driver. My brother has the kindest, biggest heart in the world. The other driver was injured pretty badly. He broke his wrist and ruptured his spleen and was rushed to the hospital. He fully recovered, but sadly, he had no remorse for his actions and proceeded to brag on social media about all the killer pain pills he was given as a result of his injuries.
What?
But despite his blatant disregard for the preciousness that is life, my brother came out of it okay. He suffered some bone bruising on his feet from bracing himself during the impact, but we all know how much worse it could have been and that Danny was definitely looking out for him, as he always does. We all agreed David's twin Daniel is definitely strongly connected to him and even maybe his guardian angel. Thank you so much for reading mine and my brother's stories. I hope you lovely ladies enjoyed it. Keep killing it. I love watching you grow and I'm so excited to know you both. Much love, Stevie. P.S. Must come visit soon. Never been to Knoxville.
Yeah, you know what? You and Amanda need to come over
here.
And we need to have a date with Susan.
And I forgot to mention before we get into this discussion that we told you guys we were going to be doing twin telepathy creepy accounts. So we have a couple in here and then throughout we have some regular creepy accounts.
Just sprinkled in. But Stevie, okay. Wow. The fact that you saw him.
Like he was like, big sis, fucking try me right now.
Don't you fucking dare,
bitch. Don't even hit him.
What he was doing. He was like, I'm going to stop you right there.
Immediately.
And I really love that you got to like experience him because I feel that, you know, for your mom, like that would have been a lot of emotions mm-hmm. to like have to experience. But being able to like have a third party through it with you, I'm sure was like a good way of dipping your toes into that reality
yeah.
or that the fact that in our physical realm that we do have the option to see these people. Maybe he has after, I don't know, has come forward to your mom at some point.
And but, I wonder, I mean, I'm sure you know, but if not, you should ask David if he has ever seen him or mm-hmm. dreamed about him.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder if David has ever experienced him. I don't know why I can't get it.
You'll
right.
see it in a lot of these stories that all of the names are very similar.
Oh, great. Clearly, I'm already doing 100% fine. I wonder, you know, how I think of myself, like when I talk to myself in my head, like is my intuition or whatever. Like, I wonder if he can tell a difference between that twin telepathy feeling of like something's not good versus yeah. your gut feeling and your own intuition yeah. situation. That's really, really interesting. About. And then also, I cannot believe he came out of that crash
yeah.
with the minor couple injuries bruises, that he yeah. had. And fuck that dude. Literally getting on there and bragging about it when yeah, like he, you caused the crash. And the first thing that David did was get out and go check on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to have no remorse, be such an asshole.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that. That's so annoying. Anyways, I'm glad that he's okay. And I loved hearing the story. Thank you so much for writing it in. All right. So the next one we have is from Kayla using she, her pronouns. And the title is Twin Telepathy is Real. Hello, honeys. You asked and I have been waiting for this. As you know, or at least Morgan knows, I am an identical twin. Everyone always asks my twin and I if twin telepathy is real. And after you hear these stories, you tell me. My twin's name is Alicia. Wait.
Yeah, this is
Kayla. This is Kayla? Oh my God.
Kayla. I was going to see how long it took you to figure it out.
Yeah. I saw.
Hey, Kayla.
What is it? Bubbles or Bubble that you guys call each other? Bubbles.
No, Bubba. No. I don't know.
Because my nickname was Bubbles growing up. And I remember when that video where she ran into the dorm room and surprised Alicia, she screamed Bubbles. Bubbles. Is it Bubbles? Now we have to know.
I think it's Bubba.
Is it Bubba?
It might be Bubbles.
I don't know.
Whose Instagram isn't on?
Oh, Kayla, my God. I think it was on Kayla's. Or no, it had been on Alicia's because she surprised Alicia and Alicia's roommate filmed it. That was so long ago, Kayla.
Wait, that was so long ago.
I mean, you'd have to go back to 2016.
I'm just going
to
scroll into some pictures. Bubs. It's
Bubs. It's Bubs. That's right. That's it. I know.
Hey, Kayla. Miss you. Love you.
Love you. So good to hear from you. Thank you for writing this in. I'm like, kind of nervous now. Okay. My twin's name is Alicia, and we have a solid 25 years worth of twin telepathy experiences, starting when we were babies. My mom said that there was this one time that for a few nights, I would be up crying and super fussy for her. So she decided to take me to the doctor to make sure nothing was wrong. Even though Alicia was fine, she came along to the doctor too. The doctor checked us both out, and I was absolutely fine and healthy. However, Alicia, who showed no signs or symptoms of anything being wrong, actually had an ear infection.
That's weird.
Whoa. Later on in our teenage years, Alicia ended up with an ankle injury requiring surgery. I was on my high school's dance team, and the day of her surgery, I had to perform for a basketball game. Right before we were about to go on at halftime, at around 7 p.m., my right ankle, the same ankle Alicia had surgery on, started hurting so bad. I'm talking excruciating pain for no reason. Luckily, I was able to power through, and the pain wore off before we performed.
Just know that if Taylor was coaching you, she would have made you perform on.
Just so you know, you were going on either way. You know, if I'm the coach, you're going on either way. When I got home after the game, my parents and Alicia asked how it went. I explained to them all what happened with my ankle. They asked me, what time did this happen? And I told them 7 p.m. It turns out at 7 p.m. at home, Alicia woke up fully for the first time since her surgery. She woke up at the hospital, but was super groggy, slept in the car on the way home, and my dad had to carry her 15 or 16 year old ass in the house because she was still sleeping. So when she finally woke up, all of the pain meds had wore off completely. And she said that she was in the worst pain of her life that even caused her to throw up at the exact time that I felt my pain.
That's fucking crazy.
That is wild. We've always known we're connected in very special ways, and we are very in tune with that. Sometimes we'll both just get a feeling that we can't explain and text each other to see if anything is wrong. One time in college, I was at home and I knew Alicia, who was 800 miles away, was going out that night. A few hours into the night, I just got a feeling that something bad was happening. Me, safely at home, knew it couldn't be from me, so I texted her and asked if everything was okay. She immediately FaceTimed me in tears and said that she had just walked into the bar to see the guy that she was dating making out with someone else. I remember that. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. More recently, in June of 2022, I got COVID. And let me tell you, it kicked my ass. One day I was in the shower and got the worst dizzy spell. I got out of the shower with soap on me because it was either that or my boyfriend would find me passed out in the floor of my shower. When I sat on my bed to try and regain myself, I had a text from Alicia asking how I was feeling. I told her what had happened and she said, I knew it. She said she reached out because at that exact moment, she was sitting at her desk working and randomly got so dizzy. She had to get up and go lay on her bed. Sorry, Leash.
I mean, you guys are just out there making each other hurt.
No, the way that y'all are like, I would be like, don't ever drink. I have to go do something really important tomorrow. Do not fucking drink tonight. Yeah, don't.
Sit your ass home and lock yourself in the
room. Lock yourself in the house, okay, man? Those are some of the bigger stories, but it happens all the time. Even last week, I was telling her how I had the weirdest dream that my nose was so stuffy, which is so random, but it was actually a real big problem for me in my dream. And it turns out that her nose was actually so stuffy and she was up all night blowing it and barely got any sleep. I hope you guys enjoyed our stories. Being a twin is definitely a special bond and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So proud of you guys and all that you have accomplished. Keep it up. That made me like almost kind of cry.
Love you, Kayla.
Thank you so much, Kayla.
And both Kayla and Alicia are listeners, actually. They both have reached out to Susan. They both have had readings.
No.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Taylor has tears in her eyes.
I do. That makes like me so emotional. Like,
and like these, they're like the type of twins also that finish each other's sentences.
Dude, I remember her telling us like twin telepathy stories back then.
Yeah.
And me being like, wow, I'm fucking blown away.
And here we are full circle.
And now I'm literally reading it on the podcast right now. That makes me want to sob my eyes out. So thank you so much for both of y'all for listening and writing that in. I really appreciate it. That's fucking wild. Thanks, I want a twin. Love you.
Come see us.
Please.
Okay. The next one is not a twin story, but it is fucking crazy. So it is written in by Corinne and it says, why I no longer go out at night without my machete.
Okay. I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah, without a machete. What's up, ladies? I have listened to every episode at least once and I keep meaning to submit one of my creepy stories, but I get home from work and forget due to caring for my dogs, making food, and you know, day-to-day to-do lists before crashing. I listen to you guys during my overnight shifts and it helps the night cruise on by. Every time I listen to a new creepy account, I'm like, well, fuck, I forgot again. My name is Corinne and you can use it. I have several stories, but for now, I will tell the most recent and most terrifying. This took place last year, end of August, early September, and put a fear in me I've never known before. Let's get into it, shall we? As part of my routine, I went outside with my flashlight to check the backyard before letting my dogs out at 8:45 p.m. I live in Wisconsin, so it's already fully dark at this time of year. I've been checking because lately my neighbor's dog has been getting in my fenced in backyard, and I don't want to fight breaking out with my pits. As I'm doing a quick scan, my light hits eyes at the back of my property.
No.
They are such a bright and vivid blue, I just freeze. They are about 4 feet off the ground, and I'm just staring at it while it stares at me. It's just past the wood line and on the edge of my grass. I got an overwhelming bad feeling from this thing, and it was so dark all I could see were the eyes. They are spaced a good 10 to 12 inches apart and front facing like humans rather than to the sides like birds or some other. What was that?
It's my phone.
Okay. Like birds or some other animals. When I say blue, think the djinn from the show Supernatural. This thing had to be massive with the eyes being so far apart and so tall. It started to move to the left, and the best way I can describe how it moved was like a lion stalking prey on the other side of the fence. Its eyes stayed locked on me while it stalked to the side. I noped my ass right back in the house and called into work as I normally leave at 9 p.m.
Absolutely.
And no way was I letting my dogs outside.
Nope.
I gave it 15 minutes and went out to check again. I can't imagine that phone call into work. Hey, I'm not going to be coming. There's eyes staring at me.
There's a fucking lion in my backyard.
There's a literal lion. I can't escape.
I can't come in.
I can't get out of the house. I gave it 15 minutes and went out to check again. And it had moved just inside the woods and was staring right at my porch. I stood on my porch with the light on and it was just steady watching. I go back inside for about a half hour and try yet again. It's still fucking there. So I'm creeped out at this point, and I live alone. What animal just sits there nearly an hour just staring at where it knows you come out?
No animal.
So pissed off and scared, I talked to it. I know.
No, you didn't, Corinne.
I said, I can still see you. It literally ducks its head behind a bush. Shocked but annoyed, I say, yeah, I still know you're there. And when I tell you, I about shit when it lifted its head and blinked its eyes shut in response. This thing fucking understood what I was saying, and I was done. I went back into my house and apologized to my dog, saying they were not going out tonight. Honestly, I've had those nights where I've been so scared. I'm like, you're going to have to pee on the floor. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, you're definitely
You won't get in trouble. I will give you a kiss.
I'm not fucking going out there.
Yeah, fuck that. I would literally let the dog shit on my bed before I went out there.
Literally let the dog shit on my face before I fucking went out with that fucking... What? It was literally blinking its eyes, responding?
Yeah. I messaged my more experienced witch friend saying I think I'm going crazy and telling her what had happened. She calls me when she gets up for work at 5 a.m. Our call got disconnected after she said she didn't think it would be a demon but wasn't sure what kind of cryptid it could be. She called back saying she was going through a tunnel and the call should be fine now. The call disconnected 4 more times, and we both were suspicious at that point as we had good reception. I should add that this happened on a super blood moon. She gave me a list of work to do on the property for protections when the sun came up, and things to do on my porch and in my home in case it was a haint. I should look into that. After a few days, we leaned towards haint. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is. How does it spell?
H-A-I-N-T.
H-A-I-N-T. Wait, is that? No, it's not Hakante. I don't know who that is.
I don't either. I've never heard of
we
that.
We leaned into haint?
They leaned towards it being that kind of crypto, I guess.
I've never heard of that before.
After a few days, we leaned towards haint since my cinnamon broom was being messed with at night. I have 2 porches, a front porch and a porch off to the side by my garage. It liked my front porch, and I would hear it moving around out there at night when I had off work.
Maybe we should pause and read what a haint is.
Okay.
Because it seems like a porch has something to do with that.
Okay. According to Google, it's a witch-like creature seeking to chase victims to their death by exhaustion. Cinnamon broom is just a favorite instrument of witches, and for good reason. They're used to purify spaces, provide protection, and fly astrally. Maybe we should get one.
I need one immediately.
Okay. So it's a creature witch. A witch right. creature. That's fucking scary. Okay, I forget where I am. Da, 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 da.
Front porch, back porch, cinnamon broom.
Yeah, I have 2 porches, a front porch and a porch off to the side of my garage. It liked my front porch, and I would hear it moving around out there at night when I head off work. I found this odd, since that's the side that faces the streetlights. However, it's also about 5 feet from my cabinet with all of my crystals, and I have a lot. I never saw those eyes, especially not that close again, but I would still see eyes in the same spot every night for months. It got to where I was leaving for work while the sun was still up and sitting in my car for hours before my shift started to avoid being out there when that thing was there. It was every night like clockwork, 8:45. It was there. When it was fully dark by 5 and my schedule moved, so did the time that it would show up. It would set off my motion camera, but I only caught something the first night it was up. It's like I knew it had been caught and wouldn't let it happen again. It would trigger it, but the camera wouldn't catch anything. I think it was around January when I finally created a spell that got rid of it on my own. The protections keep it to the property line, and the stuff my friend put together for me worked to a point. But when I went around gathering ingredients and traipsing through woods, grabbing my own stuff and writing my own petition, doing it in a fire in my yard, that it's finally left for good. I trust nothing though, and still to this day, don't go out at night without my flashlight and machete ready for a fight. I don't own a gun and don't have the money for one, so it's the best I've got. I live in a very rural area, around 2,000 people in my town. Also in Washara County, I had to giggle at you trying to pronounce it during a serial killer episode.
Where's Wisconsin? That? Washara?
It's Washara, by the way.
Washara.
Washara.
I don't know. Who the fuck did I cover in
I don't know.
Wisconsin?
Don't get me wrong, the big blue eyes were scary, but it responded to my words with intelligence is what really hit me to my core. I still to this day don't know what I saw, and none of my research has shed any light on it. I'm going to attach some photos from the one night I was able to get some. It looks like I was actually dealing with 2 things in that pic. There was a creature crouched down with pointy ears and a nose that seems to reflect in night vision for some reason, and a demonic looking entity floating in the air to the side and right of it. I have other stories, but none have ever made me feel the fear the way this did. It had an overwhelming negative energy to it. I hope you have enjoyed my story, and I hope to hear it air. P.S. You may want to clench your space after this one. Thank you for that.
No, I'm sick as fuck.
Yeah.
Wait.
You need to say it again. You see the eyes and the mouth.
100%. This is the reflective nose one.
Well, that's the same face.
Right. That's reflective.
Yeah, we're seeing the nose and ear.
Okay, I have two things I need to say.
The face is terrifying.
The blue eyes, that's what Lola saw when she was little and always talked about it. And I texted you
this
yesterday morning. I said Lola was spiritually attacked last night.
Yeah, and I said hours later, wait, what? I never got the story.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it on air.
We'll talk about it later. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. And when she was little, she would always say, what are daddy's blue eyes doing in the closet?
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you think one's here?
No.
It sounds like you talk about it and it fucking comes, man. It's one of those. Send me your fucking spell, bitch. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'll be out there cooking some shit up like I did in elementary school in the backyard. Corinne?
Making potions in the
what?
Creek.
What? No, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That. Yeah, that's scary.
And then I'm thinking about where my crystals and like the majority of my stuff is. And that night that I went into the trance, they were all sitting on the windowsill. I just moved them in there.
Don't say that to me.
They're in my bedroom right now. So immediately I'm throwing them out. Don't come in here.
You're not welcome.
You're not welcome. No, that's why. That's a crazy story. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
Scary.
Like, it's cool in a way that it's like so different. Like we've never had one like that.
Yeah.
And I really love the witchy stories.
I said I had to read it.
Yeah, I love the witchy stories. Send us more witchy stories, everybody. Next month, July, witchy stories.
You heard it here first.
Witchy stories. But then tell us how we protect ourselves.
And also, please warn us if we speak about it, it comes. Like,
yeah.
What's that doll's name? Quit staring at me, Mila.
She can't. She like won't let me have my other hand either.
She's like, you cannot read the next one.
I know.
It's just a twin story.
Okay. Thank you so much, Corinne, for sending that in. Please tell us how we can protect ourselves. What do I need to burn in the back, please? Let me know. This next one we have is from Corey using she, her pronouns. Grandpa Ron and great uncle John.
Ron and John.
That is the title.
Ron John.
Ron John. Hey, ladies. It's been about a year since I've written in, but I was listening to episode 136 and I heard you guys ask for twin creepy accounts. My grandpa Ron had a twin brother, John. All of their lives, typical twin telepathy things happened, such as showing up to a family barbecue to find out that they had bought the same shirt and sandals and were wearing them.
We need to play that trick on the boys.
That's awesome. No, we have to. They married a pair of best friends. They both had a girl in the same year. And 3 years later, they both had boys in the same year as well. So sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Unfortunately, my grandpa had an incredibly hard battle with Parkinson's disease. He passed away in June of 2019. I'm so sorry for your loss. We had all just gotten done with the funeral and were settling down, still grieving. 1 month to the day after my grandpa's passing, in the early morning hours, the same time of day that my grandpa passed, my grandpa's twin, John, suddenly passed away in his sleep. We were all in shock as he had been in near perfect health and there were no signs or any kind of warning that this was going to happen. Y'all cannot convince me that it wasn't another twin connection thing. I think about it sometimes and it still blows my mind.
I truly think that twins are like each other's soulmates.
Yeah.
They share a soul. So when one goes, it's too hard. Right.
And I feel like maybe your grandpa Ron was like about to go into a new soul contract of some type. And he was like, well, here's the contract. I'm not going without John and Ron.
Yeah. Well, John, if it's John, I'm not going without Ron. If it's Ron, I'm not going without John.
It's a twofer, bitch.
Twofer.
Two-parter. I'm not leaving without him. And he like came down to John and was like, hey, John.
You ready? We got a really cool life we can go live.
Right. We'll still be waiting up here when everyone comes. We'll still get to introduce them. But like we got this really cool opportunity we have to take. We can't pass
it. We should definitely take it up.
And, you know, and like honestly, though, like also like I truly do believe that people can pass away just from a broken heart.
I think so, too.
Of losing someone that they are so.
Cracks your soul.
Yeah, it does. It like fractures you and it's just so hard to live no matter even if it doesn't seem like it on the outside like but that what a beautiful story that and to think that your grandpa was up there and was just like hey like I missed you like we were only gone for a month but it's the longest month of my life like
yeah
thank God
to him it was eternity up there
right it was I mean I'm sure it had to have been
yeah
wow thank you so much for sending that
we
in,
love
Corey.
Ron and John
thank you love Ron and John love Ron John
the next one is from Natalie and this is about Kath and Kev mischievous Kath and Kev.
Everybody.
Hey girls, I was listening to the latest episode today and today is the day before my grandma's anniversary, who we lost to COVID 3 years ago and she was a twin. I took this as a sign to write in. Wow.
What? Not us. giving a sign.
I love that.
I love when we do that.
My grandma unfortunately has dementia and we thought she would have been safe in her nursing home. But unfortunately, the UK government is a joke and let people go from hospitals to care homes without COVID tests.
What?
As I said, my grandma Kath was a twin and she had her uncle, or she had her brother, my Uncle Kevin. They were always up to mischief, growing up in the 40s and the 50s, including making their grandmother a mustard sandwich instead of a lemon curd one like she had asked for. They were so different in appearance. Grandma was 5'1" and Uncle Kevin was a 6'2", but they always knew when there was something wrong with the other. My grandma always knew when Uncle Kevin was sick. He always knew when she was too. He also experienced her labor with her when she was having her one and only child, my mother. My mom, actually. He was rolling on the floor telling my auntie to ring the hospital and tell her to hurry up and have the bloody baby. Sure enough, he knew when mom was born even before they got a phone call to tell them. I don't remember Uncle Kevin as I was 2 when he passed, but I know he was the cheeky, naughty one out of them. My grandma was more sensible, but had a sense of humor. Grandma always comes to us as a white butterfly. It's always when we're all together with granddad in the garden or having dinner together with him. I'm hoping one day she'll come to me in a dream, as all of us on my grandma's side are very open and empathetic. Thank you for letting me write this and hopefully you reading it. Sending lots of love and light to you gorgeous girls. Keep it creepy. I've inserted pics of them both at different ages. I miss her so much, even the lectures, especially seeing her light up when she saw my 2 kids, even though at this time she couldn't say who me and mom were.
Oh.
You say they look like polar opposites. Them bitches are twins.
Look
at those eyes.
Oh my God. They literally.
That's the cutest picture I've ever seen.
It looks like if we put a filter on her to make her look like a boy and a filter on him to make him look like a girl.
Yeah. Same curly hair, the face, the nose, the mouth, the hands together.
Look literally. At you guys. Wow. They do look mischievous as fuck.
They look like they're up to no fucking good.
Ever. Bitch. They're always in there just causing fucking drama, stirring the pot. Are they the drama? Yes.
Yeah. They're the fucking drama.
Can you imagine what type of hell they are stirring up?
The bloody baby. I can't even say it.
He's literally like, will you just push this bitch out? I'm not okay.
My stomach is killing me.
Oh my God. That's crazy. That's wild. I've never thought about that. Like twin telepathy, twin drama going on during birth.
Yeah.
For a man.
Kayla, Alicia.
Oh, good you luck, lady.
Good luck.
Good luck. Oh, my God.
You'll have to rewrite us in a couple of years.
That's wild. Oh, and I just find it so sweet that your grandmother still lit up when she saw your 2 kids. Like,
yeah. I think that they know.
Yeah. 100%. I think that they too, like, it's might not,
they know,
like,
it's someone special.
Right. Like, that is someone that I love. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, no matter what, we always feel something like a tingle, you know?
Yeah. Dementia is a scary thing.
It is. I'm really sorry that you guys had to go through that.
Yeah.
But I love that you have these awesome stories to tell. Like, this is so fucking iconic.
That is Ron and John.
So fucking iconic, guys. I love it.
David, Danny.
And then we have Alicia and Kayla. Of course.
Thank your parents for that, because we wouldn't have been able to read that story.
Oh my God. Alice and Alicia.
Alyssa and Alicia.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would not be able to get through that one. You would have had to read that one. Okay. Next one. Casey. Happy belated B-Day, bitch. I love you guys.
Happy birthday.
Oh, is it your birthday? Is it her birthday?
It was her birthday when she wrote this in.
Happy belated birthday.
We were supposed
to
read it a month ago.
Oh, okay. Love you. Bye. Sorry. My bad. Love you guys and literally suck at writing, but I hope you like it. Hey, Taylor and Morgan, my name is Casey, she, her. I remember finding you girls rather early, but still binge amount worthy. And then Patreon happened, and boy, was I happy for that. I am obsessed. I listened at work, while driving, while at home. Listening to you two do your boss shit has inspired me so much in my life. And since listening, I have leaped at opportunities instead of sitting back. So I can't thank you enough for starting this podcast. Now to... Y'all better fucking stop. Because I'm like,
this time last week, you're all fucking grounded.
You're all
no
grounded.
No one appreciates us. Now, y'all literally.
Y'all better shut the fuck up because you're making me cry right now. Oh my God, I love you guys.
Love you guys. That's cute.
That was so cute. Okay, let me get to this. This is something I have never really talked about. From birth to when I was 8, my mom, brother, and I lived with my grandparents. We lived in this big, amazing house that my pop-pop bought and built up after the former house caught fire. The fire was drug-related, but sorry, Taylor, this isn't a crime story. It's okay, I love it when it's not a crime story. I actually love that more. So growing up—
I see the word witches.
Oh, I'm excited. So growing up, I always knew something was different about me. I was drawn to witches and spirits and all things spooky. I can remember from a very young age trying to summon spirit. Okay, babe.
Okay.
I was young, maybe 5 or 6. And I just remember sitting crisscross applesauce on my bed with my eyes closed, arms open. And
do
I
not
would
say these following words.
Quote. It's a quote.
Quote.
Come and be with me. End quote. And quote. You are welcome. End quote. No one is actually welcome here, just so we're clear.
Just so we're clear.
Just so we're clear. Do not come and get me. Over and over again. I wanted to see a ghost. I wanted so badly to hear those who had passed. I wanted proof that what I felt was true, that I was psychic. But in that moment, only sadness came as nothing happened. The see-through ghost as shown on TV was not there in front of me. The voice in your ear that raises the hair on the back of your neck didn't happen. However, a little after that sad night of nothing, I started seeing him, but not a him, a shadow. He would randomly be in the corner or popping his head in the doorway and sometimes just stand at the end of my bed. But I never felt fear in those moments, maybe just a little uneasy. I told my mom once and she dismissed it, as most adults would, so I never really spoke about it again. After my mom moved out, I never saw him or spoke about it. What was he? A ghost? A shadow man? A demon? I mean, I never felt sadness or fear in the moments of the shadow being there. It was always just uneasy. It wasn't until my early 20s that I spoke about it again. One night at our mountain house, myself, my brother, and my cousin were all drinking. We started talking about spooky stories, and all of a sudden, my brother is telling a story about a shadow man that he used to see, saying that he always saw a shadow man when he was younger and how he would pop his head into his bedroom doorway at night. I could not believe what I was hearing. And as I told my story, we all started freaking out. We couldn't believe that maybe, just maybe, my 6-year-old self invited a spirit or possibly something worse into my grandparents' house. When I was 8, we moved out of the house. However, my mom, and Pop stayed. And I think the shadow man did too. But when I was 10, my Pop passed away and my family stayed at the house for a week with my mom. And every night, the fire alarm went off at the same time that my Pop passed away.
What?
My mom sold the house shortly after the passing of my Pop. And even though I have had many experiences throughout my life, I never felt the presence of the shadow man I first came into contact with at such a young age. Love you girls. Keep doing your boss ass bitch work and giving us all life with your creeps and crime stories. If you made it this far, thank you. And I'd also die if you wish me a happy birthday. It's April 30th. Side note, Taylor, the Lost Boys of Buck County is a crazy case.
Happy belated
birthday, love. Sorry we missed it. This is a fucking wild ass story.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
I have so many to unpack. Yeah, you definitely didn't buy something.
First off, the balls that you had when you were 5 years old
holding a seance.
Come and see me.
Literally, hey.
Although you had like toddler talk, you know, like,
right,
come and see me,
come here, get come your here. Come and get it, na 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 na, na 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 na.
If you're ready, come and get it, na na na.
It's literally you. I bet you were putting on a show for these spirits. This was a seance of the century.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
I hope you have disinvited them since.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot more control over them now. And wow, the Pop fire alarm situation.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
That's insane. I've never, I mean, you said every single night, y'all were all there for a week. Every single night they were going off. That's wild. That's insane. Well, thank you so much for sending that.
I think fire alarms are actually the scariest sound.
Me too, because it's fucking chaotic.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I'll never forget UWalk.
No.
Guys, our apartment complex we used to live in college, at like 4 a.m, 3 a.m, it would screech your ears. We would be barreling out of bed, walk into the living room, we'd look at each other, and we'd be like,
fuck this.
Is this just a drill?
Yeah.
And then we would all cohesively decide, yeah, this is a drill, without looking in the hallway, without...
No, we would look out the window.
To what? The apartment complex was the other way.
Because if people were out there and freaking out, then we would have gone. If people were out there having a panic attack, we would have gone.
We would go back to bed.
Yeah, we would literally go get back in the bed. I'm not that fucking worried about it. If there's that bad of a fire, I'll know.
There was one time where we were a little stony baloney.
Yeah.
And we were geeking out there. We were like, did we do this?
Wait, because we ran out, y'all. The way we sprinted out, like, we didn't do
we're
our
like,
typical,
this one's real,
where we like have like a conversation about it. No, we all jumped up, start hiding our shit, grab the keys, throw your robes on. We grab the blankets from the couch. We run outside. We lock the door. We get down there. We're standing there and everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, you know, sitting there, we stood out there for fucking ever because, you know, once you're out there, you can't go back in.
Yeah. And this was also the same night, like, that we were out partying. Like, I know that because our one friend was there.
Yeah.
And she only stayed with us if she was drunk.
Fucked up.
Anyway, we were drunk as fuck. So we had already been hammered and then got home.
And then, you know, had a little sesh.
A little sesh. Mm-hmm. And next thing we know, the alarm's going off and we're crossed.
She was freaking the fuck out, too. We were cackling. We were out there literally freezing our asses off. But like, you know, when you're cold, you're drunk, you're stoned, it's late. And you're frigid and
you're
like,
delusional.
You're delusional as fuck. You know how like when you laugh so hard
and the fire trucks are driving by you and you're like, is this real or not? We don't know.
There were literally like so many people around us and we're sitting there with the blankets that we were just covered up with. I know we smelled rancid.
Oh, yeah.
That was 100%. A crazy time. All right.
Okay. The next one is from Samantha. It says, hi, my name is Samantha. I just found you two days ago on TikTok and started to follow your Instagram, TikTok, and podcast. I'm not sure if you still talk in ghost stories as I'm listening to your pod from the beginning. God bless your soul. But I have two ghost stories that even if you don't share them, I think you would like to read. Sorry for the very long email. We are still doing ghost stories.
Yeah, we stay doing ghost stories. They're our favorite.
What a lucky
the way
bitch.
That you found us on TikTok.
And we're reading your creepy account.
And then you follow us on Instagram. Wow. Okay. You
deserve it.
You'll eventually learn what this means, but you were not one of the grounded ones.
You're not grounded.
I'll tell you that much. But you can get the fuck out of season one. You can do that.
She won't hear this for another 5 months.
Talk to you in 5 months, babe. Thanks so much for listening. I can't believe you found us on TikTok. Thanks so much.
Story one. This story takes place when I was 13. I'm currently 27 and a little background info. First, I am the eldest daughter after four boys and have a youngest sister. Both my parents come from large families. My dad, one of five boys and two girls, as my mom is one of five girls and two boys.
Wow.
I always found this a fun little coincidence.
That is.
But being a part of a large family means you don't have a lot of things to yourself. My aunt, on my mom's side, who is the youngest of the family, gets this and did a lot to help me growing up. She and my uncle would let me stay with them every Christmas break from the age of 8 till 2020 when COVID happened. Now the house she lives in is the same house she grew up in, Westchester, New York. This house was built by my grandparents, both of which lived in till they died. Sadly, I never met my grandfather as he passed 7 years before I was born from complications from serving in World War II and being in Japan at the end of the war.
Wow. Thank you so much for your service,
Grandpa. My grandmother passed when I was 2, just before my younger sister was born. When I was 13, my aunt started to renovate the house, updating everything. Now the actual event. It's Christmas Day and my first night at my aunt's house, and I'm the only person sleeping on the main floor of the home. My aunt and uncle are sleeping upstairs, and they have no pets. I was up late reading a book I had just gotten that day and laying in bed. Now the thing about the room I was staying in was that it was a corner room and it quite small. It's also the only room that was fully redone with the renovation, and I was sleeping on a pull-out love seat bed that blocked most of the door when open, only allowing the door to open 2 feet. That is not feng shui.
No.
It was late, and I just put my book down and turned my light off and settled to go to bed. That was when I heard my bedroom door open and the door hit the bed. I froze, as I had not heard anyone come downstairs, and the stairs made a lot of noise. That is when, starting at the bottom of the bed where my feet were, I felt someone tuck me in, going all the way up to my shoulders. Then the door closed, and nothing else happened that night. I didn't tell anyone what happened in the morning, too freaked out. The next day, we picked up my cousins, my mom's great niece, one of her older sister's granddaughters, who was only a few months older than myself, to stay for a few days before going home. Unfortunately, I ate something that set off my allergies at dinner and had to take medicine that put me to sleep. So I only have my cousin's story of what happened that night. So you're me.
So you're literally Morgan. I can't wait till you get to this podcast. You're going to be like, Jesus Christ, I'm Morgan.
I was on the pullout bed again and she was on a blow up mattress on the floor. And she had just turned the light off and turned over when the door opened. And like me the night before, she was tucked in. She, like myself, froze when it happened. But as the door closed, she woke me up and had me share the tiny bed with her. In the morning, she told me what happened, and I told my mom on the phone, who was shocked. The room that we stayed in was the room that she and the aunt, who now owns the house, shared as a young child. And her father, my grandfather, would tuck them in every night. To this day, this is the only time anyone had that happen to them in that house.
That is so sweet.
He was just tucking you in.
Okay, Grandpa, scary as fuck, man. Like, yeah. I'm been here for 5 minutes. Don't be opening the door like that without making yourself known.
Yeah.
But wow, oh my God, that is so sweet.
That is sweet.
My pap, my grandpa, my mom's dad, he, like, people feel him because he'll come and he'll, like, he always did this, pinch your feet when you're tucked in the bed. Like, he'll just pinch your feet and walk mm-hmm. off. Like, that was his hug or, like, his kiss. Like, yeah. Pinch your feet.
Story two. This happened years later in August of 2019 at an animal shelter in Bidawi. This shelter was started in 1903 as New York City's first no-kill animal shelter by its founder, Mrs. Flora Diaby Jenkins.
Queen. Kitty.
And she opened the location I volunteered at in 1956. The shelter was during a mobile event where two volunteers would take two puppies to West Hampton Beach town to walk the puppies around town and bring them to the lawn for movie night. Once the movie started, we would take the puppies back to the shelter.
No, they need to watch the movie.
Yeah, they need to watch it.
They need to watch it. Only if it's Spirit.
Or Air Bud. When we picked up the puppies, the shelter was just closing. Now, myself and the other volunteers had signed up to do every week for the month of July. But due to a rain date, we had one day in August. My partner could not do this last rain date, so a different volunteer helped me, and she ended up ditching halfway through, and I had to return both puppies and supplies, a table, flyers, dog supplies, to the shelter by myself. When I got back to the shelter, it was dark, and of course, all the dogs started barking when I came in with the two puppies. I put them to bed and then had to put the supplies away across the shelter. The shelter is set up in a way that the puppies are on one side with a two-door system to the hallway that across from the puppy room is the older dogs. The hallway has a room that two of the walls are full glass panels. That way you can do interactions with the dogs. And it's on the left of the puppy room and then the front desk. You can see the front desk from the doorway of the puppy room. Again, everyone had left the shelter hours ago. No one was in there. The shelter also sits back away from the main road and is on private property. So no one else was on the property besides myself. I would have seen another car or a person when I got to the shelter. I left the puppy room to put the rest of the supplies away, and as I entered the hallway and looked through the glass, I saw a woman standing at the front desk behind the counter looking at me. Her hair was up in a bun, she was wearing a top with puffed up, slightly pointed shoulders, and it was dark in color. I blinked, and she was gone. I tried everything to recreate her, thinking it must have been a reflection, but my hair was in a ponytail and I was wearing a tank top. I hurried and put everything away and locked up. The next time I was in the shelter, I was talking to someone who had been working for years at the shelter and described what I saw. And she showed me a picture of the founder of Bidawi and it was the same woman. She was checking up on her shelter because the year all of us at the West Hampton location were afraid that our location was about to be sold off and we were getting almost no animals from the Manhattan location. Picture below the founder. I hope you like my two ghost stories. I have so many more about the shelter, but none quite like seeing a ghost. Samantha. And that's the woman.
Iconic.
Animal lover.
Oh my God. Stop. That's so crazy. She came in. She was just like walking through and she probably saw you and was like, I thought she was going to be coming back later with the
I just wanted to spend time with the dogs. I thought you were at movie night.
I was laying with the fucking
pups. I was talking to your grandpa. He told me it was okay.
Yeah, he said it was fine. He just tucked you in and now I'm out here and I was checking on my pups and then you pulled up and I thought I could hide from you, but then you saw me and then you stood there for 15 minutes trying to figure out how you could get my shoulder pads, but no one could have these shoulder pads.
I will say that I'm a little disturbed by this photo.
Why? What's wrong?
Look at the dogs.
Their eyes have been drawn on.
I don't know. I'm assuming this would have been a painting.
No, it's just one of those old pictures. Oh, you know what it is? It was the flash. This is how they corrected red eyes back then. They literally colored over them.
It just took a little like, because, I mean, like, dogs did look different in the early 1900s. Like, dogs have changed. I don't know if you've ever seen like a compare and contrast of like what dogs used to look like, what they look like now, like different breeds, but they have changed drastically.
Probably. I've never done that.
Yeah. It just came up on like my TikTok once.
Now I have to go Google it. So yeah. Thank you for that, you bitch. Yeah. Because I'm going to be down that rabbit hole. But yeah, I definitely think that's just.
Yeah. This one just looks night vision. Little demented.
Yeah. That one just looks like not okay.
But what a woman.
What a woman.
What a.
She looks fine.
She's gorgeous.
It's just the dogs.
I love her for making the first no-kill shelter. So.
And I love that she literally just like pulled up and was checking on the pups.
Yeah. She's like, well, these are my babies still, so.
I'm going to be here every day.
Okay, so the next one we have is from Kaylin, and it says, hey, y'all, my name is Kaylin. You can use it, and I am 19 now and listen to your podcast every Thursday. I first want to say that I have been wanting to send this story in for a while now, but after listening to Creepy Account Volume 21, I decided that I should sit down and write this out. This incident happened also 1 year ago, and I probably think about it daily because it has bothered me so much. To start off, at the time of this story, I was 18 and working on getting in shape for my upcoming season of basketball. I don't really enjoy enjoy running, but when I signed on to play basketball at the college I was going to, I figured I should probably start running. Fair enough. I live in a smallish town in the middle of Iowa with a pretty park that has a nice trail that was close to my house. I eventually got into the habit of going on a run every day, and I would always choose this trail to go on for a run. This park was pretty big, so there were always people around. However, after a few times of going, I felt semi-safe because no one had ever tried to talk to me. This day would ruin that for me, though. On this day, I was planning on going on about a 5-mile run. I grabbed my earbuds, only putting one in because I'm a paranoid person and I don't want people sneaking up on me, and my pepper spray, also because people can be creepy, 100%, and I set off on my run. After about 1 mile, my run from hell started. A douchebag on a bike came out behind me, getting ready to pass me, but of course had to slow down beside me to tell me that I was doing great and to keep it up. I thought to myself, that was kind of weird, but hey, maybe he was just trying to be nice. Wrong. That shit pisses me the fuck off. Me too.
I'm like this. Say that to me again.
I'm fucking running. Do I look like I'm fine? No.
Do I look like I want you to motivate me, you fucking creep? No.
No, fuck off. If I need a motivation, I could look at myself or I could call someone on this damn FaceTime run. Like, fuck off. After running for not even 5 minutes more, the same guy was riding his bike towards me on the other side because he had turned around. Once again, he said hey and told me that I was a great runner and that I was doing great. Once again, I tried to ignore it and keep running. However, at this point, I was tired and I started walking. A few minutes later, the same damn guy rode up beside me again. He once again had more creepy comments and rode past me. Keep in mind that I'm about 1.5 miles into this trail, and there is no way that this guy is not turning around shortly after he passes me. At this point, I am creeped out. So I thought, fuck this run, I'm going home. I turned around so that Mr. Creepo would be going the opposite direction of me. After walking about 1/2 mile back down the trail, creepy man passes me again. This time he asked me if I was done running and how often I ran in the park. I gave him an awkward laugh and kept ignoring him as he passed me. I started to run again at this point, just really wanting to get home. I have about 1/2 mile more to get back to my car when I notice a bike lying up ahead on the trail. This majorly creeped me out because all I could think about was what if the bike was the creeps? And what if in that tall grass that was on the side of the trail, he was sitting? At this point, I took my earbuds out, grabbed my pepper spray in one hand and my phone in the other. As I jogged past the bike, I saw him, creepy man, sitting in the grass. As I got closer to him, he started talking again, saying that I was a pretty girl and that he would love to take me to make me sweat without running. Shut the fuck. It's
fucking disgusting.
Up. Oh my God. I thought, fuck no, not today. And I started running a little faster. At this point, he was chasing me, yelling things that I didn't care to listen to. I guess creepy people are also stupid because he was running after me and left his bike. I finally made it to the picnic area where a man and his small child were eating lunch. Having heard Mr. Creepo yelling, the man asked me if I was okay and what was happening. I told him and he offered to walk me to my car to make sure that I got back safely. This guy was a literal saint and I'm so thankful for him. Since I had stopped running and started walking with this man, creepy guy had caught up to me. However, he started to walk the other way when the man I was walking with told him to get the fuck away from us or he would shoot him.
Nice.
King. I eventually got back to my car, thanked the man, and I drove home. I decided to write this in to y'all because every time that I have told this story to someone like my mother or father, they never seem to believe me or have told me that it's not that big of a deal. However, I think that this is something that happens every day to women and girls and needs to end. Unlike what my father says, it shouldn't matter what a girl wears 100%. In fact, one of the first things that my father asked me was what I was wearing. God, I'm so sorry. Not that it should matter at all, but I was wearing long basketball shorts and a t-shirt. I think that it's important for people to be aware of their surroundings and be prepared. I also think that people should be willing to step in and help if they hear or see something like this happening. I am so appreciative of this man and his kid that stepped in to help me when I needed it. Thank you so much for reading through my story. I think that this is something that I have just really needed to get off of my chest. I really love y'all's podcast and I listen to it every chance I get. Keep up the amazing work. Sorry for the crappy writing. I think I hate writing as much as I hate running now. LOL. Love y'all. Okay.
Wow.
Kaylin. Oh my God.
Absolutely 100%. I agree with everything that you fucking said.
Everything that you fucking said. Fuck that guy. It does not matter what you were wearing. You could have been out there in Nike Pros, short shorts with a literal bikini top on with like triple D's. And it should not matter what the fuck you are wearing. No. It is not okay ever for anyone to speak to someone like that. Like, I hate that you even felt the need to explain what you were wearing to us. Like, I even contemplated not even saying it because it does not fucking matter.
It doesn't fucking matter.
But just to give everyone a fucking idea of what's going on, literally the most modest thing that you could possibly fucking wear running.
If you are a runner and you listen to our podcast, male or female, I'm specifically talking to the males currently right now. You need to keep an eye out for the ladies. Other runners that are right. around you. I don't care if you don't know them. You need to, I know that we like running with AirPods in our ears, mm-hmm. but maybe just one AirPod or have some sort of conscious awareness of your right. surrounding at all fucking times, even though you are male and it probably won't ever happen to you.
Right.
But there are women out there that
experience
deal with
this
every fucking day and it turns them away from something that they're extremely passionate about. And it's really hard for them to get that courage to and bravery to go back out there and pick up what they were doing.
Exactly. 100%. You know, I feel like a lot of women, like the other morning, I wanted to go on a walk. I was like, I need to go move my body. It was warm outside. It was super sunny and it was early, so it wasn't too hot. In my head, all I could think about was the fact that all of the trees have bloomed. Now the area that I would walk is completely covered from mm-hmm. the outside road. It worries me whenever I walk that by myself
yeah.
when it's grown up like that, because someone could very easily just grab me off of the trail. Yeah.
I don't even like taking Ollie out, like right mm-hmm. outside my apartment. Like
right.
it's fucking gated community. And I still am like looking, even when I walk to my car in the morning, I still look left, right. Mm-hmm. I open that door and I look left and right. I walk down the stairs, I look behind me. Like I'm always constantly checking my surroundings. And I hate that we have to do that as females.
Yeah, it sucks. And I feel like it turns a lot of women away from mm-hmm. running or like doing anything like that, where you, most of the time women want to go do like group fitness classes. You want to know why? Because we're around other people and we can be protected that way.
Yeah.
And also because of like sexist marketing, but yeah. that's
my,
a side note.
My brother and sister-in-law, they like host, they have a group of runners mm-hmm. and huge runners. And they host group runs in the mornings. And, you know, it's like fucking 4 a.m. because right. it's crazy. But they host them and then other people host them. I'm not going to tell too much on here because it's not my story to share. Mm-hmm. But a similar situation had just happened to my sister, a month ago?
Yeah.
Very similar to your situation, Kaylin, where she was physically attacked while training for her half marathon. And it put a fucking damper in her entire life.
Like
it was traumatic. It was traumatic for all of us. We're 900 miles away and it was still like it was hard. And so I'm sorry that you had to go through that. And I hope that, I know you didn't like running in the first place, but
yeah,
I hope that that didn't stray you away from, you know, being outdoors and
wanting to take your walks and
yeah.
feeling like you can confidently do that in a place and not yeah. feel like you're gonna be harmed.
Yeah,
so that's just not fucking fair. It's not. And women don't deserve to live in fear. Like it, mm-hmm. there's no person, it doesn't matter, like no person, no human on this earth deserves that lingering black cloud that sits over you when you're terrified that something bad is going to happen. And I really appreciate you for writing this in and sharing your story with everyone.
And you know, how hard would it be for parks? They're city parks, they're state parks,
right?
Throw a fucking couple of cameras up there.
Please.
You know that most of your crime happens
on trails.
In these trails. So how hard is it really to just add a couple more layers of protection?
Right. Like, what does it matter? What is it going to harm you?
Trail
Honestly, it's going to literally make it to where your police department can close cases better.
Right.
And that gives you more
funding.
You can
find these creeps.
And exactly. So why not fucking just do it? And then on a side note of all of that, guys, and Kaylin, I just want to say I'm so sorry that you didn't have people in your corner that believed you and that wanted to support you through this. That's so not fair. And I hate that you had to experience that.
And victim blame you.
And victim blame you. Like, ask you what you're wearing. Fuck that. Yeah. Like, it's so wrong. And I'm so sorry. I feel like at least once all women have come into a situation like that when you're asked something like that. Well, what were you wearing? What did you have on underneath your skirt? It doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't fucking matter.
It does not fucking matter what I had on under my skirt.
We believe you, Kaylin. You are heard here.
Yeah.
And we are sorry that happened to you.
And I appreciate you
and I
trusting
very
us.
Thank
thankful for that guy.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for that guy. Guardian angel. We talk about guardian angels that have always that have come to Morgan and I and saved mm-hmm. Morgan and I in situations. And it's just like a different vibe about them.
Lenny.
Like, you know that they're safe.
Love you, Lenny.
Lenny. Okay, guys. Well, we're going to let you go on that note. Next month, what did I want? For July.
Witchy stories.
Witchy stories. I want witchy stories for creeps. Okay, we could do this. We could do two themes for everyone.
Okay.
Witchy stories for, well, I guess that's my choice, but, and then I was going to say we could do running, like if, or like situations like that, that maybe you guys like didn't have the time to talk about, or maybe felt like you were being kind of pushed to the
silence.
Side. Yeah. Silence and
victim blame.
You need to be validated and something like that. Like running, I would like to talk about that more. It's been really prevalent in the last year. I mean, we all saw what happened in Memphis
mm-hmm.
while we were literally in Memphis.
Yep.
And then Marley's story, it's a lot. So anyways, thank you all for sending in your stories. We do this at the first of every single month. We love you guys.
If you want to send it in, email us at creepsandcrimes.ca@gmail.com.
That's creepsandcrimes.ca. CA, which stands for creepy account, @gmail.com.
We'll put it in the
it's always in the not description.
The description.
And if you need to talk to Susan like you do, Corinne.
Yeah, Corinne.
Corinne, call
and
Susan.
And now us.
And now us. Jesus, Susan's gonna call us. She'll be like, who the fuck were you talking about?
Yeah.
Susan's information is always below. And we are hoping that we can have Susan on probably
soon.
I want to say in August, I think is gonna be our best bet.
Yeah.
I would love to have her on in August. And whichever month that we know she's gonna come on, we're gonna have you guys send in your stories for Susan.
Yeah.
And
questions for Susan.
Questions for Susan, stories for Susan, and let her tell you what she thinks.
That's exciting.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. All right, love you guys.
Love you, bye.
Happy June.
Happy June. Bye-bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.